Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doesn't it always seem like there's some new disaster that's occurred? Maybe it's fires in the mountains, or an earthquake in California, or a tsunami somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. Or what about climate change? Isn't that going to end the world? And is it just me, or does there always seem to be a war going on somewhere in the world? Families are dislocated and refugees are relocated. And we've all struggled with the foreboding feeling of dealing with one sickness after another, each worse than the one before. Let's face it, we live in a world that's falling apart right in front of our eyes. Jesus tells us in our gospel lesson, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, these words are directly from Jesus' mouth. And some of you might be thinking, I've seen these things happening in our world right now. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The signs we see of distress in the world are actually warning signs for unbelievers of our Lord's return on the last day. But for the faithful, that's you, they are a promise that our redemption is drawing near. Just as the leaves drop in late fall, proclaiming winter is not far off, and the budding trees in spring promise summer is drawing near, the signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth are a sure promise of Jesus' final coming. And Jesus himself shows us how not to respond. He says, there will be distress of nations in perplexity, and people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. It's easy to become overwhelmed and terrified when we see bad things happening in the world. But this is how those without any hope act. First, there is confusion, people asking, how could this happen? Then there's fear and depression, people wondering, why does God allow all these bad things to keep happening? Or there's the idea, we must fix these issues ourselves. Or people dismiss it altogether, and they might even scoff, saying, where is the promise of Christ's coming? Everything continues just as it was from the beginning of time. Now, we need to be very clear here. All these issues in the world are a result of the fall of Adam and Eve. When our first parents sinned, even the earth was subjected to that sin, and God's creation is now trapped in an endless cycle of deterioration leading to death. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. And we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. We shouldn't ask, why do these things keep happening? But where? Where is God when these things happen? God is right where he's always been, with his people. Just as Jesus says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Christ our Lord is with us in his means of grace, in his word, confession and absolution, and in the sacraments. Now, Jesus also warns of another possible way people may respond near the end of our gospel lesson. He says, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap." Now, dissipation is behavior which is completely without moral restraint. Another word that we could use is debauchery or carousing. Jesus has already warned us about living in fear because of these signs. And now he warns us about becoming complacent or fatalistic. It's our sinful nature to forget and grow complacent, or to give up and become fatalistic. Many will say, "We don't know when Jesus will return, so we might as well enjoy ourselves today. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." But Jesus warns us not to let that day, the day of Christ's return, come upon us like a trap. So, how should we act when we see all these signs all around us? Malachi prophesied, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." You think the world is bad now? It's gonna get worse. Your life is hard? There's always things to complain about, to regret, to even fear. This will continue until the end, and there will continue to be signs in the sun and the moon and stars. Nations are in distress. People will betray you. Horrors will abound. But Paul explains in our epistle lesson, "For whatever is written in former days was written for your instruction, and that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Notice that these signs of calamity are not supposed to confuse us Christians or to cause us terror. But through these trials, we will learn endurance from the Word. And when we see these things happening, Holy Scripture teaches us to have hope, not despair. Malachi goes on saying, "But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." And Jesus says, "Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads. This is a posture of confident expectation, of hope, of faith. We know that Christ will return because he said he would return. Therefore, we can look forward to his return with the same joy and anticipation that we look forward to Christmas each year. While the world around us toils with the hustle and bustle of the holiday season and doesn't even know what they're celebrating, we joyfully await the coming of the Messiah. The world celebrates only one month of the year, while we celebrate Christ's coming all year long. But why can we wait with confident expectation for that last day to come while everyone else lives in fear and falls apart because of that great day of judgment? Why? Well, Jesus tells us right here. He says, because our redemption is drawing near. When we see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory, we can rejoice because the one who has redeemed us is coming to deliver us from the forces of sin and evil. Malachi's image is so appropriate right here. He says, "You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." As baptized Christians, we stand redeemed before God, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the coming Christ, who redeemed us from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Therefore, Jesus says in the last verse of our gospel, "But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." Here, one might say, "But I can't. I can't stay vigilant. I'm not strong enough." I would have to say, you might be right. But when you think you have failed, when you think you don't have strength, run to our God and pray with the psalmist in Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." That's why, in Advent, each year, we look forward to the Christ's first coming, while we also look to his final coming. But Christ also comes to you even now. Through his unchanging word and sacraments, Christ comes. And through these means of grace, he gives us his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit works faith within us. He sustains us through these hard times and fills us with hope in a hopeless world. The signs are all around us, in sky and on the earth. We see that the end is near. Just as the new leaves foretell the coming summer, the distress in the world today tells us our Redeemer draws near. Everything in our world seems to be changing. It's a comfort to know that although everything else may change, Christ tells us, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What a comfort. Just as the Apostle Paul says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that has been preached to you. Therefore, though the earth seems to be falling down around us, I pray for you, just as Paul prayed for the churches in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the powers of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In the name of Jesus, please rise.